We're in Job 23 tonight. Job chapter 23. I want to share just a brief, I believe will be a brief message. Of course, I say that sometimes, and they're not always that brief as I thought they were going to be, but I believe it'll just be a brief, few-point thought for us this evening out of Job chapter 23. If you are doing the Bible reading plan that is that the church has put out, and you're up to date, and you read this morning or sometime today, you read in Job chapter 23. And again, what I'm going to be speaking on this evening, I think the song that Angela just sang for us goes well with that as well. And so I want to look at the first 14 verses this evening, and I want to give us some foundational thoughts, some things that we would go back to, those fundamentals in our Christian faith, and things that we can just anchor ourselves to. Let's read verses 1 through 14. It says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." Again, I mentioned I want to come back to some foundational thoughts this evening in our Christian faith. Foundation is of great importance. Back in 2011, Rachel and I were preparing or attempting to buy our first house. Up to that point, we had been married for 16 years or so at that point, but we had lived in church housing and previous ministries that were provided for us and did not make enough money to buy a house. And it was really going to be a miracle if we could buy a house then in 2011. The Lord was very gracious to us, and we were able to get into a house. But I remember shopping for that house, and we were looking at houses that were fixer-uppers and houses that were going to need some work and require some work, houses that we could afford. And we had a realtor that was very gracious and very patient with us, even knowing he was not going to make a great deal of money on the purchase of this house, but he was really there for us and helped us in a great deal. And we went to this one neighborhood, and we had seen the house online, and was really surprised for where the house was, the price for this house. It was much more affordable than most houses in that neighborhood. And when we got there, it was just a beautiful house. We were admiring the curb appeal, the beautiful flower beds out front, the shape of the house, and Rachel and I are outside looking at all this and thinking, boy, when do we put our offer in? And at the same time, our realtor had already gone into the house. And before Rachel and I could get to the front step, he was coming out of the house, locking it up. And we said, "Hey, Rick, we want to go in." He's like, "Nope, this house is not for you." And we, "Rick, come on, I want to see the house. We're interested." He goes, "Nope, I'm not going to let you buy this house." And I said, "Rick, let us see the house. We drove out here." And he says, "Fine, but we're going to the basement first." And as we walked down into the basement, we saw one of that front wall was completely bowed and caved in. And he says, "This is why this house is so affordable. It's got an awful foundation. He says it's going to be nothing but problems. It's going to cost more than you can afford to fix. This is not your house. And oftentimes we would do that. We would look at the kitchen or the bathrooms, those type of things of a house, and not look at really the most important part of that structure, which was the foundation. And so tonight I want us to come back to those kind of thoughts this evening, those foundational thoughts, those things where our anchors are tied to, that keep us on the path that God wants us to be on, even when things are difficult. Now, Job is obviously going through what most of us, the most difficult human tragedies that we've ever seen, written before, or recorded for us. If we go back and rehearse chapter 1 and chapter 2 tonight, you would know that Job lost all of his wealth, all of his possessions. He lost his children, and he lost his health. And it was all because the Lord allowed Satan to come after Job to see if Job would be faithful, to see if Job would keep his eyes on the Lord. And of course, Job had his ups and downs and his doubts at times, but even in this past night, you'll see his faithfulness to the Lord, even when he didn't recognize what was going on. And as I thought of this, not only did he have the tragedies of chapter 1 and 2, then he has three friends that show up. And these friends come to comfort. And they end up staying to criticize Job and tell Job why God is judging him. And Job had to endure this. And that's where we pick up in chapter 23, where Job makes a response to Eliphaz. And he makes these statements here. Now, as we read these verses, notice Job's plea in verses 3 through 9. He says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." He goes on to say, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which would he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Job begins and ends his statements here with the fact that Job cannot find God. He's looking for him. Verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." And then he ends it there. He said, "I look to my left, I look to my right, I look all around me, and I cannot find God." Within those statements of not being able to find God, Job brings some complaints. He brings his heart out. And we can certainly recognize the despair and the discouragement that Job is feeling in this reality that he cannot find God. Now, as I read verses 3 through 9, and especially in verses 4 through 7, I can cringe sometimes at what Job is saying as he's being honest before the Lord, but he's saying those things, but it makes it bearable when you see what he says in verse number 10, where he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job is saying, "I can't find God, but I know this, God knows where I'm at. God is aware of my situation, and I can trust that. Even though I can't find him, even though I can't see him, I can trust God." You know, as I read these opening verses of this chapter, I appreciate Job for his honesty. Just being honest. He's not disrespectful. He's not condemning. He's just stating how he's feeling. I appreciate Job for his honesty, and I appreciate Job for his faithfulness. Even when he is not able to locate God or feels like he can't locate God, he makes that statement, "I know God knows where I'm at." What a great thing for us to remember. I know these recent days and this last year and the days that we look ahead to, They're difficult days. They've not been the most pleasurable. Although we have been able to see God's blessing and God's faithfulness in them, they've been difficult. And we look ahead to the future and getting ready to transition into another president and with policies and a direction that we're not in favor of. For the most part, we're not in favor of. And we're not sure of what direction this is going to lead our nation and all those things. There's a lot of uncertainties. And it's good for us to have these foundational thoughts and these foundational points that Job will bring out to us this evening. But none greater than this, than to know that God is always with us. And we can count on that. Let me just share with you four passages real quick. Two from our Old Testament, two from the New Testament that remind us of the presence of God in our lives. Back in Joshua chapter 1, as Joshua is now taking the reins of this of the nation of Israel, their leader, the Lord gives him this great promise in verse number 9. He says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What a great promise to hold on to, that the Lord our God is with us whithersoever we go. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Again, fear not, I am with thee. Jesus, before he ascended away from his disciples, he gave them that great commission, the great command in Matthew chapter 28. But within that command, he gives this great promise. Verse number 20 of chapter 28 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What a great promise that is, that the Lord is with us. And then, of course, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And church, in these dark days that we may face, let us remember, even when we can't feel him, find him, we look to our left and our right, know that he is with us. Job had that assurance. Job had that faith. Job was honest, but Job was faithful to the promises of God. So in spite of feeling alone, that he cannot find God, notice the emphasis that Job makes in verse 11, verse 12, and verse 14. These are these three foundational truths I want to get. Three anchors you can hold on to that will not move. These three things, I believe, can help us when we have those times of not knowing where God is. First of all, is to maintain our walk with God. Our walk with God. Verse number 11. Notice Job says, let's read verse number 10. It says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Then he says, "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." Job emphasizes his walk with God. And notice the terms he uses, the words he uses that emphasize his assurance or the stability that Job had during this great trial. Again, he says there in verse number 11, "My foot hath held his steps. I have kept," and then it says, "and not declined." Job was is emphasizing here this walk with God, and that he's not faltered, he's not gone backward, he's not left the trail, he's not left the path. Job was determined to stay on the course that God had charted for him, trusting that the Lord was there. I tell you, in the difficult times of life, it makes those difficult times easier knowing God is there. Having that assurance that God is there. When I was just a youth, fifth or sixth grade, I was a part of a camp trip, and I was in a junior camp for a week of camp, and was there in Ohio, and I got put into a race between one other person from the other team and myself around the track of this, or the road around this camp. It was a big circle road around this camp, and I don't know if it was a mile long, but it was lengthy, and it took a while to run around that, and I was not prepared for anything like that. And this young man, this fellow competitor I was racing against, I found out after the race that he went jogging with his dad every night. They were runners. They had run in marathons and half marathons, those type of things. And so I had no chance to win this race. But as I was in this race, I was going, and within just a few moments, he was running away from me. He had a much higher, faster pace that I could keep up with to make it around the track, and I'm trying to maintain this. And well before halfway through this race, I know I'm in big trouble, and I'm not going to make the race. I'm not going to be able to win, and I didn't think I could be able to finish the race. And I remember wanting to quit. I remember wanting to walk off the track and just be done with it. And this young man was running away from me. There was no race. He was already winning. And as I was coming around the corner, I was kind of halfway walking, halfway running. My youth pastor showed up. And he was walking next to me because I wasn't running anymore. I was just walking on the track. And he said, "Mark, don't quit. Hang in there and finish the race." And I called him Brother Dave. I said, "Brother Dave, I'm not going to win this race. It's over." He said, "It doesn't matter. You need to finish this race." And he kind of cut across the way, and he went away, and I was all out there by myself. I remember thinking, I'm just going to walk into my cabins. They were coming around there. I could walk in there, let this die down, and show up later to dinner or something, but I wasn't interested at all finishing this race. But as I got around that bend, I decided that I would at least finish the race, and as I went around that corner, there was no one at that finish line but one person. And it was my youth pastor. He was waiting on me. He'd been watching me. He'd been waiting, looking. And that gave me the inspiration I needed to finish that race. Even though I had lost the race, I remember finishing that race with the run, trying to finish it. And I remember my youth pastor grabbing me and said, "I'm proud of you. You finished the race. You completed the task." And Job here, although he is weary, and although he is tired, and although no doubt he wanted to quit, he says, "My foot hath not declined. My foot hath held his steps. I have kept the way I have kept." He maintained and he finished, knowing that God was there watching and was there with him. So, church, keep walking with God. In these difficult and trying and difficult days, keep walking with God. Stay on course with Him. Secondly, in verse number 12, Job emphasizes another foundational truth for us, and it's the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." Again, we see the assurance Job has placed on this anchor, on God's Word. He says, "I've not gone back from it. I've not turned away from the Word of God. I've not turned back." He says, "In fact, I've esteemed His words more than my own food," His physical food. He says, "I have elevated the Word of God beyond that." Boy, if there's something we're going to need in difficult and dark and trying days, it's going to be the Word of God. I'm sure many of us tonight, in fact, you could probably put this down more important than putting down what you had for lunch today. Put down a passage of Scripture on that Facebook feed that has been there for you time and time again. You've been in a difficult time, a trying time, and a passage of Scripture was there. It felt like at just the right time, just the right place, just the right what you needed to hear. I've shared with you multiple times, for me, Psalm 61, those first four verses have been that passage for me time and time again. But it's not just Psalm 61. God has brought me to encouraging and helpful verses many times in my life. And I wouldn't have found them, I wouldn't have heard them, I wouldn't have read them apart from if I would have walked away from God's word. It's a foundational truth that we must hold on to. In these difficult and hard days, make sure you rely on the word of God. So he talks of the walk of God with God, the word of God. And then in verse number 14, he speaks of the will of God. Look at verse 13 and 14. It says, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what does his soul desireth, even that he doeth? For he, the Lord, performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Job, imagine saying the things that he's just said, understanding that Job's lost everything that he's ever had. He's lost his finances, his possessions, his children, his wife, his health. His wife, although did not die, she went against him. She encouraged him to curse God and to die. All of these things took place in Job's life. And yet he says, I'll trust the will of God. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. The idea of that word performeth, it's the things that were ordained for Job. The things that God had destined for Job. These were appointed for him, and many such things are with him. Trusting God's plan. Trusting God when you can't see him. Trusting what he's doing. Knowing that God is always right, and God is always, always good. Again, we may not understand what God's doing in the moment, in that situation, but knowing God's good and God's always right, we can trust him. And I'd encourage us in these difficult and trying days and days that may even get more difficult and we may feel like God's not there, know that he is there. And know this, that you can trust the walk with God, the word of God, and the will of God. I pray that we'd stay faithful to the Lord. You know, as you continue your Bible reading through the book of Job, you'll get to those last chapters when God will speak to him and say, hey, you can't understand all these things that I do, but you can trust me. And in the end, God blesses Job. He rewards Job, and he blesses him. And I'd encourage us, let's stay faithful to God even when we can't understand or even when we don't see and know what he's doing. Let's trust our good God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this evening. We'll ask for the Lord's blessing on these thoughts tonight. And I trust that we'll just have a wonderful week and look to the Lord, continue to look to him during these days. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the example of Job. And Lord, as we read on what happened in his life, it's hard for us to fathom how we would respond. And Lord, we don't know what lies ahead for us, but we know that you're with us. Lord, we think again of this morning of your omnipresence. Lord, that you're already there tomorrow. Lord, we can count on that and trust you. Lord, knowing that you'll be with us. So Lord, help us to trust the walk of God that you have for us and the word of God and the will of God. And so Father, be with us this week now. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to be faithful witnesses for you. I pray, God, Lord, that in the opportunities you'll give us this week, Lord, help us to be a shining light to those. And then, Father, I pray now that you would continue to be with those that are struggling with COVID. And, Lord, that you just be with them, bring a healing into their bodies, Lord. Bring us back here soon, Lord. We pray that we can be back next weekend, meeting live and in person. Lord, we'll thank you for all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust you have a good week. We'll see you here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, just a stream service, 7 o'clock this Wednesday. We'll have Bible study, prayer meeting, all that will take place this Wednesday night. God bless you.